The Adventures of Uncle Jimmy, a Warner Brothers radio production starring William Farnham. Original story and direction by Edward Lynn. Rosalind's happiness in seeing Robert was marred by the uncertainty of what the future held once her husband learned that she was deformed because of the accident. But she kept smiling and hoping, her faith and trust buoyed up by Uncle Jimmy's and Mrs. Jedson's simple but comforting philosophy. Said Mrs. Jedson to the girl she was soon to make her daughter by adoption,
"That's life, dear, taking the bitter with the sweet. It's a plain bit of trust, but it's been proven all down through the ages.
If Robert had been stronger, Sunday. Oh, I was just aching. Just so anxious, I mean, to tell him all about it.
He'll know in good time. Can't see but that it'll bring him closer to you, if anything. There's a heap of tenderness in men. Trouble with most women is they don't look for it.
Dorothy! What is it, a fire?
Sister Rosalind, Uncle Jimmy wants you. And Mom, too. Said to hurry. Shall I say you're coming over right away?
Yes, dear. She'll go right away. I wonder what in the world... She isn't the one.
She's adorable. I love her very much. I think when she's 17, we'll mean even more to each other. If you'll excuse me, Mother Jedson.
Of course, dear. I'm not an over-curious body, but a secret always puts a wiggle in my soul.
Makes you squirm mentally?
Yes.
Well, I won't make you wait too long. In fact, if it's something tremendous, I might telephone you. Oh, Florence, it's just too beautiful for words. And this lovely fur on the collar. I was wondering what I'd do for a winter coat. I hated to ask Mother Jedson for the money.
Well, now, look at our model in her new coat.
Isn't this a wonderful surprise, Uncle Jimmy?
Mm-hmm. And certainly becoming to you. Now you and Bobby, soon as he's well enough, can get out and see the world a little.
The button's just a little off, but it really fits very well. Has a nice high collar, too. Comes up just high enough to... Well, it's really very attractive, up like this, with the little buttons here to keep it in place.
Oh, it's fine like that. Makes you look a little taller, too.
I think I'll just slip the coat off. Thanks. I won't be going out a great deal for a while anyhow. Thank you, Florence. Well, if you'll excuse me, I promise to help Mother Jedson.
Guess we weren't quite as subtle as we thought we were going to be.
No. Poor girl. She knew what the stand-up collar was for, to cover that stiff neck.
She's so young. And for the young, deformity of any kind is such a bitter pill to swallow.
I'm trying so hard to make things up to Rosalind. To be to her, well, insofar as I can, what she'd like me to be.
The change in both of you has been almost miraculous. Now, let's not say we've failed. We'll just keep on trying.
I must run over and see her after dinner. Oh, now, isn't that stupid of me? She'll be here for dinner. Oh, and that reminds me. So will Miss Brenton.
Yes, too bad Bobby isn't strong enough to join us at dinner. After all, it's going to be difficult for her to know much about the boy in such a few moments.
It's amazing how much a woman knows about most men in 60 seconds.
Well, here's where Rosalind sacrifices her 10 minutes with Bobby for the good of his career.
We women are used to making sacrifices for men. Our sweethearts, our husbands, our fathers, children. It's been going on for so many centuries, it's become a habit.
Oh, so men of all ages are a habit, eh? Have you discovered yet whether good or bad?
Does a woman ever know?
Now, Rosalind, you and Uncle Jimmy take Miss Breton into the living room, and I'll help Florrie serve the coffee.
Now, I think I should serve the coffee.
You come with us, Uncle Jimmy. I'm sure you know much more about business problems than I do.
Oh, now, really. Don't look upon me as an oracle who always finds the right man for the right job.
I can't tell you just how grateful I am to you for the interest you're taking in my husband.
Well, I'm sure that if the father of the boy is too reticent to do something about it, why, then an outsider feels she's justified in
doing a kind deed?
Well, yes. Or just trying to help a nice young chap like Robert to find himself again. Oh, please sit down, Uncle Jimmy.
Oh, well, I'm glad you want to call me that. People who call me Uncle Jimmy usually become my friends.
I can vouch for that, Miss Brenton.
Oh, I didn't notice before. Are you suffering from a stiff neck, Mrs. Stewart?
Why, there's something wrong with the tendon.
Oh, a cold? Oh, no, that would be neuralgia. I suppose you wrenched it. Or perhaps
Mrs.
fell.
Mrs. Stewart was in an accident. Her husband doesn't know.
Oh, but it's so apparent.
Oh, will you excuse me? I should be helping Mrs. Stewart.
Did I say something I shouldn't have? I'm afraid I've hurt the girl.
You hurt her very much, Miss Brenton. We're all terribly concerned about just what the outcome will be when Robert finds out that his wife may have this deformity, perhaps for life.
Oh, that's too bad for both of them. But I'm a terrible realist. I think the girl should be told that such a condition is a very serious threat to their marriage.
After all, when a man, be under 21 or over 50, realizes that the woman who is his wife is going to be the mother of his children...
The girl has my best wishes, but she's going to have a fight on her hands.
Yeah, I shouldn't wonder. But the only possible threat to her marriage might be another woman.
Yes, another woman. It's too bad there are women like that in the world. But that's another fact we must face.
I'm afraid so. Rosalind wouldn't be a match for a really clever woman. Bobby either.
I agree with you. Neither Rosalind nor Robert would be a match for a clever woman. Or both of them, for that matter.
That's true. But the woman would have to be a match for not just those two, but another. A rather old hand at the game of living.
Indeed. And what kind of weapons could such a party possibly use against a clever woman?
Oh, experience.
I'll take the coffee.
Well, here comes Mr. Stewart with the coffee. Nothing I enjoy more than a good cup of coffee.
I'm curious. This third party who would join forces with Rosalind and Robert against the intruder. Who is she?
Not a she. A he. Uncle Jimmy.
Oh, Arnold.
All right, now where'll I set the tray, dear?
On the coffee table, of course. Just like a man to ask such a question. Oh, do you take cream, sugar, or both, Miss Brenton?
Neither, thank you. Just plain.
You, Uncle Jimmy?
Cream, sugar, and 6 lumps of sugar.
Why, good heavens, Uncle Jimmy. 6 lumps?
Mm-hmm, 6 lumps. I want a lot of sweetness in my disposition tonight. I think I'll need it. Bobby, how did you like Miss Brenton?
Okay, Uncle Jimmy. She seemed like a good egg. But I wasn't the star attraction. All she did was rave about Rosalind.
Is that so?
Yeah. I'm
glad our little girl made a hit with her.
She sure did. Well, I guess I'll be in line for something at the office when I'm well enough.
Fine. Perhaps by that time I'll have something to offer you, too.
No fooling. What are you foxing around to do for me? Gosh, I don't know how I'll ever repay you now.
Just by minding your P's and Q's and being a good boy.
Wasn't it swell of Rosalind to give up her visit with me so I could see Miss Brenton? You know, the doc didn't want me to have two visitors in the same evening.
Well, it won't be long now until Rosalind will be a full-time visitor.
Can't be too soon for me. Say, Uncle Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Brenton said she'd like to make a friend of Rosalind. Isn't that kind of funny? Just meeting her for the first time?
No, I wouldn't think so. Women have very warm natures, you know, and no doubt Miss Brenton and Rosalind would have a great deal in common.
Well, maybe it's all right. But, Uncle Jimmy, Miss Brenton wants me to call her by her given name. Do you suppose that's all right, too?
Well, yes, certainly. If she's going to be Rosalind's friend, no doubt she'll be your friend, too.
Her given name is Myrtle Marie Brenton. But she said, just call me Mitzi.
Now, Arnold, I've got some intuition. And it tells me that this Miss Brenton is not out to adopt the whole family, except for some very good reason.
All right, dear, you may call it intuition, but I call it a very suspicious nature.
Arnold, is this Miss Brenton in the office every day? I mean, your office?
Well, she's the personnel director of our offices, dear. Our offices. And she doesn't hang her hat in my private office. She has her own. And her own secretary, too.
I'm not in the least worried about your secretary. I think she's a very charming girl.
Flora, you slay me. When a woman is no rival because of age, you refer to her as a charming girl.
Well, I got Mr. Johnny off the bed.
Thanks, Uncle Jimmy.
I had a nice little visit with Rosalind. Oh, and I'm so glad that she wasn't too deeply hurt by Miss Brenton's very unnecessary reference to her stiff neck.
Did Miss Brenton go out of her way to... Now, wasn't that tactless?
Yes, it was. But she must have been very unhappy about it. She told Bobby she wants to make a friend of Rosalind. Think the world of the girl, you know, and all that.
Oh, well, now that's more like Miss Brenton.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Looks like she's going to be a friendly girl. Perhaps more friendly than helpful. Wants Bobby to call her Mitzi.
Perhaps all the stewards are unduly suspicious of Miss Brenton's attentions to Bobby. Can it be possible that Miss Brenton and Rosalind will become good friends? And what might Uncle Jimmy have in mind for Bobby?